Hello and a warm welcome to this week's Racing Postcast, brought to you by The Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet. York is fast approaching. We've had the Shergar Cup last week. This week we have an all right weekend of racing. We've got some competitive handicaps at Ripon, where we've got the Great St. Wilfrid there, some group action at Newbury with the Hungerford Stakes taking place there. And we also have the unique Grey Horse Handicap to get stuck into from Newmarket. We've got a great panel joining me today. We've got the Racing Post betting editor Keith Melrose, also Mark Horowski making his debut on the show, and from Unibet we have Brett Williams. Brett, where is Ed Nicholson? Have we got him on holiday? Is he tanning away? What's going on?
Whenever you see there's a Chepstow in the racing fixture, you know that Ed unfortunately will not be able to make his presence felt on the Racing Postcast. He will be on the magic mic down in Chepstow this evening.
There we go. See, those who are watching this are probably, well, you probably won't be able to see him now, but yeah, he is at Chepstow this evening and he will be on the mic there. Brett, what can we expect from Unibet this weekend? Any big offers, any extra places? What's going on?
Yeah, lots of extra place offers at all meetings up and down the country. Also got your money backs for the second and thirds as well. Price boost, super boost, best industry prices, you name it, we've got it at Unibet. And as you said, there's something for everyone this weekend. That's that sort of little bit in between the Qatar Goodwood Festival and the Ebel meeting. But no, there's, you know, I think Jeffrey Freer is an interesting race. It used to be quite a bit of a prep race or a trial for the St. Ledger, didn't it? But there's not even a St. Ledger candidate in it this year. And of course, the favourite is what, 5 or 6 years old anyway, so wouldn't be running in it, of course. But no, it's a good card. I think the Hungerford Stakes is very competitive, the handicaps. And of course, you've got the Great St. Wilfrid from Ripon as well, which is going to take some trying to solve.
Absolutely. Jeffrey Freer is going to be where we start. But do remember you can head to unibet.co.uk and look at all the terms and conditions there for all the offers this weekend. But Brett will be running through them as we go through each race. We start off at Newbury then. The 150 is that Jeffrey Freer Stakes. It is a Group 3 event over 1 mile, 5.5 furlongs. Unibet's betting at the time of the recording have Al Arzi as the 4-5 favourite here. Al Cream's 11-4. Go Daddy 13-2. Sumo Sam is 8-1. And Roberto Escobar is the outsider of the 5. At 28-1. Mark Horowski, debutant on the Racing Postcast. Welcome along. Who do you like in the Jeffrey Freer?
Yeah, it's probably the easiest race to cover to get started here, but it's obviously notable that Vauban and Arrest not turning up here. Last year was 7-4, with Unibet now 4-5 in places. I think it's the way I sort of see the race unfolding is Sumo Sam and Al Karim likely to go forward here. Can see this being run at a good tempo. Vauban was the proven stayer, but the ground would have been a concern for me. Best form on softer ground, similar to John Gosden's Arrest, but we're just unfortunate. We've only got 5 runners, so there's not much value in the each way market. I think Al Arzi got the gaps at the right time at Goodwood. It was a brave ride from Jim Crowley. Does have to give way away around here, but I just think, I mean, 5 runs at Newbury, 3 wins in a second, appreciate conditions. I can just see the race being set up for him. He does look very difficult to beat. I don't think there's a lot running for the layers here. I mean, he's currently 4-5, could go off around 4-7, I think. I mean, looks very difficult to beat.
Yeah, absolutely. Couldn't agree more there. Excellent Newbury record. And you said that ride was a brave ride at Goodwood. It was cool as you like from Jim Crowley. I wasn't actually there on the Saturday, but yeah, he kept cool and found the gaps and flew through late. Keith Melrose, what did you make of this? Is it a penalty kick for Al Arzi?
I thought so, and I thought, like Mark said, if anything, 4-5 is going to tighten up. On ratings, giving that £3 away is going to cause him some issues, but really the form on which that is the case, a lot of it's very old. You know, Sumo Sam, 1 run this year and way down the field, and Roberto Escobar's form is not from 2024. GoDaddy's got loads to find. Al Karim's form is technically better last year too. And maybe isn't a horse that's looking like taking his racing terribly well. So I just thought Al Arzi, who has a good record at Newbury, he won the Rosa Lancaster this time last year, and just has, yeah, he's got the best form, and I think he'll go off shorter than 4-5.
Yeah, I think a lot of viewers and punters will think he'll be going off shorter as well. And Brett, he's an obvious horse for a hat-trick horse this week, but are you going to be making it that hat-trick?
I'd be surprised if he is beaten. He's won 3 times at the track, and you said, you know, there's very little sort of chinks in his armour, really. The only slight question mark you could say, he's not proven over this distance. He's never raced beyond 1.5 miles, but, you know, I think Klaus will probably get him through anyway. If they do go off a good gallop, then obviously Stanley may come into play, so that could make him slightly vulnerable. But, you know, you're just trying to find a reason to try and get him beaten. just talking to our trainers a few moments ago, GoDaddy has been quite popular even before sort of the likes of Vauban and so forth were declared. So it's always been sort of that to try and keep GoDaddy on our side, who's around 6-1 from 14s in our antidotes book. And we are price boosting a runner in that race that will most likely be Alassai. So go onto the website from 9 o'clock on Saturday, and you will get that price boost there in that race. But no, it's very, you know, there's no real reason why the favourites should be opposed, really. I mean, Al Karim has got form over a lot further and on soft ground, so we'll make it a true test. And, you know, it's a case of, you know, catch me if you can, they probably will. But going back to that ride with them to Goodwin, I mean, I backed Alassai and I was like that. And I thought I was beaten, but thankfully the gaps opened in time and Jim got up the inner. But no, it was a good performance and, you know, he should win this doing handstand, really.
Yeah, it certainly looks the one to beat. But yeah, GoDaddy coming for support, according to the Unibet traders there. Last seen running at Clairefontaine, which isn't a French course that you'd often see on British horses' form. So yeah, worth having a look at that. But form that has worked out fairly well, to be fair, going back and looking through the form in France. So yeah, GoDaddy the one for support. Let's go on to the 225 then, gents. The handicap over 5 furlongs. Class 3 event. This is much more competitive with the big board topping the market for Richard Hannon at 100-30, Wolhampton and McLovin 11-2, Michaela's Boy is 13-2, QH City is around 15-2, Meconian's 9-1, double figures about the rest of the field. What have we got in this race here, Brett Williams?
Well, when I was looking at the form, obviously the prices weren't out at the time of research, but I was very keen on the big board and anyway. I've just spoken to Richard Hannon for his Unibet blog, and he's quite keen on her. She ran a great race at Ascot last time. That was a real solid effort. She's very well handicapped as well. I think she's off, 84 today. She's won off 92 and 87 and 85. So she's very, very well treated here today. And she goes on any sort of ground. So I think you can make a good case for the big board. Ocean Murphy, obviously, the title-seeking rider on boards, which is obviously a positive. And, you know, around, you know, 3-4-1, it wouldn't be a bad price, really, for the big board. I mean, you I think you hit the nail on the head when you said this is quite a competitive race. I don't think it's particularly strong. It looks quite poor to me. There's a few horses you just, you know, sort of in and out of form, and you're trying to sort of scrape the barrel a little bit with them. Meconium would be the other one I'd sort of bung into there. Hasn't won a race in the UK, but has some smartish form in France. Two decent runs of late, and is again another horse that's coming down the weights. But no, for me, I think the big board is quite a strong fancy there. And I think we talked on the pod last week and said about the former Richard Hannon. You know, he has had a couple of winners in the week, which I know he's had a few near misses as well. And obviously Hatton was taken out in France on Sunday, but he has been among the winners. So at least you know that, you know, the yard are just ticking along nicely.
Absolutely, yeah, and he'll have a key runner as well in the Hungerford later on in the show, which we'll talk about. Keith Melrose, who did you like in the 225?
It ended up being quite similar to what Brett said. I looked at this race, market order, big board was favourite, and my first instinct is, I'll get her beat, bit of an Ascot horse her. And then the more I looked down the field, I thought, well, actually, what is going to beat her? And really, the one that I came down was Myconian, one of very few in the race that has a progressive profile, sixth in the Windsor Castle last year at ridiculous prices, won a listed race in France after that. And since since coming back to Britain, hated every second of Epsom in the three-year-old dash. Tried to take on Jordan Electrics, who's now rated £20 higher at Hamilton. And then last time finished second in a good enough race at Newmarket. Maybe wasn't looking the most straightforward, but very likely that, in fact, we know a better horse than a mark of 84 is Myconian, and has been closer to showing that than the results let on so far. There was a good price around, you know, in a race where I don't see much depth, definitely represented a bit of value there.
Okay, yeah, the big board looks the one to beat. Myconian one, definitely for some each-way value there. Amy Murphy and Holly Doyle for Keith Melrose. Mark Orofsky, you're to give us the final selection in this handicap. Who did you like?
Yeah, I did think this is quite competitive. I quite like QA City. It's 15-2 currently with Unibet. So I'm going for a quick Jim Crowley double, my favourite trainer, John Butler here. Yard are operating a 20% strike rate, nice winner at Kempton the other day. I think the step back and trip will help Kuwait City here, £2 below his last winning mark as well. For me, it just ticks all the right boxes, stable in form is a big positive. I think see a big run from Kuwait City.
Okay, yeah, Brett Williams is going to be with the big board then. But Mark Roski and Keith Melrose with ones at each way prices. Mark with Q8 City and Keith with Myconian. On to the 3 o'clock, which is another handicap. This one over 7 furlongs, a class 2 event. And yeah, again, some decent pricing here. Walifi is the 9-2 favourite. Again, Jim Crowley being mentioned at the top of the market. Starlaw 6-1. United Approach is 6-1. Zabritsky point 13-2 along with Zuzana. 7-1 about Lethal Levi. Double figures about the rest in here. Keith Melrose, to kick us off, surely there's a decent price in here.
Your thoughts? I mean, it's a race that's very slightly outside of my normal zone. Obviously, it's 7 furlongs, but a horse that I thought was looking like potentially interesting handicapper at 6 and 7 was Zabriskie Point, who ran in a good 3-year-old handicap at the July meeting. Ran a fairly promising race there. Wouldn't have necessarily said go back to 7 with that horse on the back of it, but ran an okay enough race at Goodwood last time, having come from a long, long way back. You know, he had no chance from where he was positioned early in that race. Weaved his way through to a decent 5th, and is worth pursuing with. I think he's going to pop up at some point this season. And it's not the strongest of convictions in this particular race. It is an open race, but he's a horse that I'd be putting up as a sort of lukewarm selection, because I do think he's going to pop up sooner or later.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree with you. I was actually on him the last day, which didn't quite work out, but I do think Zabritsky Point is going to prop up as a 3-year-old here and is definitely the improver in the field, again, with Holly Doyle on board. Mark, what about yourself in here? Surely not a Jim Crowley treble.
Nah, I'm not going for that. I'm actually going for Starlore. It was 9-1 yesterday's, and now 6-1, shorter in places, 4 places available. Ran in the Britannia Stakes at Ascot last time out, was never competitive, got dropped a pound for that, but did beat Arabian Crown on debut at Sandown. I mean, obviously the trainer's not renowned for having first-time out winners, certainly went in my notebook. I think the step back and trip to 7 should suit here. And trainer, again, operating a 25% strike rate, ticks a lot of the boxes again. And I would expect a big improvement from that run at Ascot last time out. And to be honest with you, I'm not surprised that there's money coming for Starlore already.
Great combination as well. Judgment, Sir Michael Stout and Tom Markand taking the ride there. So yeah, could be very well handicapped in this field. And Brett Williams, Mark's already mentioned there, but extra places available on this handicap.
Yeah, 4 places available in this race, so you're going to get the value. And I agree with everything that Mark has said with regards to Starlaw. Has been very well backed. I think step back down to 7 will suit him. And as he's already said, Stag's team, you know, he's got 25% strikes. They are going really well. I mean, Walifi was very impressive last time at Doncaster. I mean, has been put up sort of quite a hike in the ratings. I think it's gone up £8 for that. So career high mark to defy, but, you know, he's still... still on the upgrade. And United Approach is another one I suppose we could bung into it, but was beaten odds on favourite last time, so has got a bounce back from not a below par run, but a disappointing effort. Bearing in mind it was sent off the odds on favourite. And yeah, I think Starlaw for me is the most likely winner. Although if Walifi is improving, like obviously connections feel, it could be a very good afternoon for the Crowley Shadwell team. But I can't think of many times that Tom Markand's ridden for Sir Michael. I should probably look at their stats, but as you said, the yard are in good form, which is good enough for me.
Absolutely, yeah. So Michael Stout in good form heading into York next week. The feature race on the card there at Newbury is the 3:35. It is the Hungerford Stakes Group 2. Again, over 7 furlongs. I think we've got 7 runners here with English Oak and Kikuli as the joint favourites at 5-2. Tiber Flow 9-2. Witch Hunter is 5-1. Popmaster and Fulgaria 12-1. And Jumbi, Likeable Jumbi, at 16-1 as the outsider of the field. I was really against English Oak when heading to Goodwood last time out, Keith. I wasn't too sure that handicap form at Royal Ascot was going to be that good. I actually landed on Kikuli here, who I thought ran a really decent race at Deauville last start. And I've got a feeling that this horse here could end up to be much better than what he showed at Deauville, because Ryan Moore took the ride that day, went off favourite, and it didn't quite work out, but returned to a slightly quicker surface and back it at Newbury, straight course in a lower level. I think this horse is a right chance. What do you make of it?
Well, he's obviously a horse that there's going to be a lot of hopes for. He's the last kind, isn't he? She's not got any foes after him. So the last half-sibling to Frankel. You know, yeah, I don't think he lost anything in defeat at Deauville. You know, he was maybe fast-tracked compared to most Charlton horses in terms of running in a group on that stage in their career. And he's the one, I think, of the two favourites that I'd be with. But with you know, English Oak especially being 5-2, I didn't see any reason why Tiberflow should be double that price. Looked like he was maybe the coming force in this division when he won the John of Gaunt at Haydock. And last time, I mean, he's a big strapping sort. And yes, he is prone to a poor run here and there, but I think I could have told you beforehand that he was maybe not going to enjoy Goodwood. He's not that sort of horse, big strong sort, you know, maybe didn't really enjoy his day out at Goodwood, particularly back at a flat track. Now, he won the Carnarvon Stakes here on his way to the Commonwealth Cup as a three-year-old. And all his form is at tracks that are either flat or have a bit of a sting finish, which suggests, well, it tells you that he's always been wanting a decent test. He's not a massive quickener. He's just a horse that keeps powering on. And, you know, potentially a bit of a division in flux. He might be one to sit at the top of it for a while. And I thought he shouldn't be double the price of those two ahead of him in the bet.
Okay, yeah, Tiberflow, yeah, decent price. Now, I know Robbie Wilders was quite keen at Goodwood on this horse and knows that the ability certainly is there. Mark, who were you with in the Hungerford?
I thought it was a tricky race. I think Kikuli should be the favourite here. It was currently 3-1. It was 9-2 before the decks were confirmed. I think the run behind the team in the Jersey Stakes is the best form on offer. But for me, I had a hard race in Deauville. I mean, I had a lot of racing this season. I just think the value's gone in this one, currently 3-1, even though stepping down in class is a weaker race. Maybe take a chance here. I mean, I know there's only two places on offer. I thought Popmaster was interesting at 14s. Consistent form over course and distance, 5 runs, 1 win, 2 seconds. Again, stable form, 16%. Just unfortunately, we've not got the 8 runners here. Obviously, Tiberflow, for example, we're a length behind, 1 length in front of Newmarket in Group 3 company. He's 5-1. We're 14-1 here. I think there's too big a price discrepancy here from the favourite to Tiberflow to Popmaster. But it would have been a perfect race if we had the 3 places. But I'd be looking to take on the top two in the betting here, English Oak and Kikuli.
Okay, yeah, taking on the top two in the Betty and potentially Popmaster could be the one to do so. Rich Hannon, Brett, is obviously going to give his thoughts on Witch Hunter in his blog this week. Jamie Spencer taking the ride, has ridden the horse before. I think last time actually rode last season at Longchamp, I believe, in the Daniel Wildenstein. So has ridden the horse before. Course and distance winner here. And I know that Paul Keeley is the biggest lover of Witch Hunter, so I'd be surprised if he's not on him this weekend. What do we make of Witch Hunter's chances?
Yeah, well, Jamie went on him at Royal Ascot as well when he won the Buckingham Palace. I think it was over 7. So he's a good hold-up performer. And as you said, his record at Newbury is very good. He won this race actually last year. He sort of tends just to go under the radar all the time because he's quite exposed and we know how good he is. But he always runs a solid race. And Richard, yeah, very keen. I mean, as you said, he's been in cracking form all summer. There's very sort of little reason as to why you can't see him in the money. Whether he's going to be quite good enough to beat the likes of perhaps the likes of Kikuli is a question mark. And I am quite keen on Harry Charlton runner. As you've already said, a step back down in grade will certainly help that one. I mean, English Show, I'm just not sure what to make of that, the Lennox Stakes. I think audience was given a great ride from the front and nothing else just got into that race, did they? The English Show was quite slow from the traps as well. So if you just sort of perhaps draw a line through that at this more conventional track, I think you can see a better performance, hopefully, from English Oak. But no, I think Kikuli, for me, in that race, I think it's got plenty of reasons to go for it. I think the quicker ground will definitely suit it as well. And if you fancy the champion sprint, which again, obviously these are already closers, so it's not saying that's where they're going to go, but currently 16-1 with Unibet to win the champion sprint. I mean, it's in the Park Stakes as well at Doncaster as well. But yeah, so there's a few anti-posters, little angles there if you want to get involved before, but no, Kikuli for me. But yeah, Witch Hunter, I wouldn't rule him out at all.
Okay, there we go. So yeah, Kikuli looks like the one to beat for Brett Williams. And
I should just say, sorry, we are super boosting all of the runners in that race. I've got to get that out. That's what I
make sure you get those offers in, Brett. So super boosting all the runners in this race here. So if you do like one, I think on Saturday morning from 9 a.m, you get the prize, next prize up the ladder if going for that horse. I did notice that Unibet did bring out their anti-post prices for Champions Day this week, and did notice Big Rock in there for the QE2 once again, which may be the first time I back him this season, going back to try and win the QE2 once again. So do head to unibet.co.uk. You can look at all the anti-post prices there for Champions Day. There we go. That's it for Newbury then. We've got a quick advert about the brand new Racing Post Insider, and here are more details here. Welcome back to the Racing Postcast, brought to you by the Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet. Sam Hart, Keith Melrose, Mark Horowski and Brett Williams taking you through the weekend action. And if you did want to get involved with that Racing Post Insider, as you saw on that advert there, if you were watching on YouTube, you can go back and scan the QR code to get involved there. So pause the video, go scan the QR code and you can get involved with the Racing Post Insider. Moving to Ripon now, we've got two races to cover from Ripon, the first of which is the 2:45, which is the Silver Trophy Handicap over 6 furlongs, a Class 2 event, which sees Ray Vaughan as the 11-2 favourite, Fortimore 6-1, Roundhay Park is 17-2, Another Bear 9-1, 10-1 about Grant Wood and Supreme King, Danzan, Glendown, Showtime Mahomes, all 11-1 and bigger the rest. We're going to have two competitive handicaps here from Ripon, that's for sure, with the Great St. Wilfrid coming up. But I'm going to come to you first, Keith Melrose. Who's going to be the one for you in this?
This is a trickier race than the Great St. Wilfrid for me. It's basically they've brought the consolation race back, isn't it? It's a valuable race for an odds of 8-2. It's a 50 grand total prize fund. And as I say, the Great St. Wilfrid used to have a consolation race, but they stopped being able to fill the big race. So they couldn't have a consolation anymore. And they have sort of brought it back by the back door and been rewarded because it's a cracking old field. What you want at Ripon generally, you hear this once a year because it's the only time Ripon really features on the sort of ITV cards. You want to probably be drawn at one extreme or the other when you're at Ripon. And just up as a horse here that I thought is drawn right on one of the rails, the near rail in 18, and could be the sort that just blasts, gets that rail and never gets sighted, and that's Another Bar, who hadn't beaten a rival, had been in totally abject form all season. And then a little bit of a sign of life at York at the tail end of July, and then came out and won at Doncaster from his reduced mark last time 2 weeks ago. It's this time last year, he was third in a race at the Goodwood Festival. He's come down, it was nearly a stone he'd come down until Doncaster. He's only gone back up £3 for that. Oshie McSweeney gets up and gets another three off him. So he's got a lot going for him. He's got that really good draw. I can see him just blasting out and getting a good run all the way through. It's a competitive race, but he's one that I thought was maybe getting overlooked from what was a really low mark. And before Doncaster, I wouldn't have had him on my mind because he couldn't have been in worse form, but you can't deny that he's back to some sort of level now. And therefore, still a handicapped and deserves a lot of respect.
Yeah, back to form and, of course, some distance winner. Another bear for Keith Melrose. Brett, we'd have to end the podcast if you're not going to give me an extra place in this, and I'm sure you will in these two handicaps at Ripon.
Yeah, 5 places each way in this race, which again makes it a bit easier for you for trying to poke because it's massively competitive. I think there's only 4 last time out winners, which makes it even difficult. I sort of narrowed it down to 2. That the first of those is Ray Vaughan, who comes from the Ben Brookhouse stable, and who's quite short enough in the betting anyway. Ben had his first ever run as at Ripon. You know, obviously quite a fragile sort, has often pulled out the races, has quite a lot long time off in between races, but has obviously got a lot of talent. If there's rain around, I can make a good case for Ray Vaughan. The other one is Origin Trail. A decent filly's got not a bad record at the track. She won a maiden there. She's been placed on 3 occasions at the course. She's off not a bad mark. Stall 4, I think, is quite good, isn't it, at Ripon in the big runner field, and generally quite consistent. So Origin Trail for me, one of a couple of runners in the race for Ben Haslam. And money wise, there's been loads of them backed, including a bit of money for Maxi Boy as well for Shane Gray.
Okay, yeah, you being well back. 5 places with Unibet here, but Origin Trail, another course and distance winner. There are plenty in the field for Brett Williams. Mark Horowski, you are to give us the final selection in the Silver Trophy Handicap.
Yeah, I thought this was very wide open, but there's one I like at a price here. It's Kevin Ryan's True Promise, 33-1, each way 5 places. Didn't run as a 2-year-old, was 2 from 2 in Newcastle as a 3-year-old. I mean, he has competed in competitive handicaps this season. He's been running on good to soft so far. I think the quicker surface at Ripon on Saturday will suit. I mean, just looking at the damn sire, 7 runs, 4 wins on good to firm. The sire, Washington DC, good to firm, showed improved form. Handicapper dropped True Promise, £4 for that run at Kempton. Got a £7 claimer on Louise Akers as well, drawn 11. Isn't too much of an inconvenience. I like his profile. I think he'll outrun his odds at 33-1. I think he drawn in the right spot. Would have been better to be drawn a bit more higher, but I think 33-1 is a big price, and I think the ground's a big factor here with this one.
Okay, true promise. Yeah, massive price, 33-1. But you're going to get those five places with Unibet. But Louise Akehurst taking the ride, £7 claimer. She actually rode a winner 10 days ago at Carlisle in a female amateur jockeys race. So, yeah, it's going to be a big price there for Mark Kurowski. The 320 that Ripon is the feature there. It's the Great St. Wilfrid Handicap, again, over six furlongs. And seems to be every time Keith Melrose comes on the show that Summergand also decides to come on the show. He's 6-1 favourite currently for the Great St. Wilfrid. Kitai's 8-1, Ramazan 9-1, along with Wob Wob Wob, Radio Goo Goo and Dare to Hope are also 9-1. Manila Scouse and Mr. Wagyu are 11-1, 12-1, bar these. Extra places again, please, Brett Williams.
Yeah, so five places each way in this game, so we get some decent value in there. Summergand has actually been backed, as you've just said, he's now favourite, has been really well supported for the winning most trainer in this race, David O'Mara. He's won it three times before. I mean, you know, you might as well close your eyes, get a pin and just see where it lands. Ramazan, one of four runners in the race for Richard Farr. He's the horse that I'm quite keen on. Ran well enough, wasn't beaten far in the Stewards' Cup at Goodwood last time. The only sort of slight reservation is that the winner of that has gone out and run again since at Windsor and was well and truly put in his place, but it was a sort of small, what, five-runner field, so a completely different type of race that is going to negotiate this time. Ramazan, for me, I just think it's got a decent little sweep there. They're 4 from 19, second in the air. You know, just a decent sort of stalwart in these sort of races, 14-1, you know, it's worth backing each way. Richard Hannon's got two runners in the race. I think it's quite significant that Sean Levy's gone up there to ride Bosch. He's also got a runner in the novice there. He's got about, I think I've just done his blog, he's got about 8 or 9 runners down at Newbury. So it's quite significant, I think, that Sean's gone up to Ripon to ride Bosch. And he's also got a Ram in the same race. He's partnered by Franny Norton, who's not without a shout. He's very, very unexposed to Ram. I know he's done a lot of work with Rosalian early on in the season. So he's clearly a horse that shows plenty of speed at home. But now, Ramazan for me, if you want my selection anyway, in a race where we are, as I said, paying five places.
Five places then, and Ramazan, the Richard Farr stable for Brett Williams. Mark Kurowski, who are you going to be with in the Great St. Wilfrid?
Again, this is massively competitive. We've got five places on offer here. I was actually going to Dutch two here. Obviously, I'm going with another Kevin Ryan runner, Magical Spirit, 40-1, first selection. It was a good winner at Doncaster, first race of the season. I mean, that was good to soft, but Magical Spirit, I mean, does handle good to firm. Still £5 above the last winning mark at Doncaster, but he's 1 from 1 at Ripon. Big variable for me, and some horses just don't handle Ripon. Tom Eves booked, which is another positive. I mean, I think this one's overpriced at 40-1. And the second selection is, I'm with Brett here on Dare to Hope, currently 11-1, five places with Unibet. Richard Hannon, Richard Fye trains this one, course and distance winner, two runs, one win and a second. Thrives around here, handles conditions, dropped £2 for that run at Goodwood. I mean, the form, as you say, did get let down at Windsor, but I think the handicapper's given this one a chance, and I think this one's overpriced as well, around 11-1.
Okay, yeah, Dare to Hope, and the other one being Magical Spirit. I do love in these consolation and main races on cards a trainer double, and it'd be a hell of a double if you can land the Kevin Ryan one and the Silver Trophy and the Great St. Wilfrid. Yeah, 33-1 with True Promise in the last race and around 40s. 33s for Magical Spirit in the Great St. Wilfrid. Keith Maurer, as always, say, yeah, Summergand turning up with you once again. And no surprise, we say this again, Summergand's been well supported in a big handicap.
He has, and for obvious reasons. I don't know, has he won this race or been second in it? You know, he's run in it before and run very well in it. And he ran a pretty encouraging race in the Stewards' Cup, much more encouraging than 14th would suggest. So I can sort of see that. There's another reason why Summergand's getting back, I think, and it's because, again, we talked about the draw at Ripon. It's very, very important. Ripon doesn't suit a lot of horses. Mark's right on that one, but you look at this race, half of these horses could have walked here themselves. They know Ripon so well, so it's an absolutely correct angle, but it's not giving you much of an edge in this race. They're all got really good Ripon records. Summergand, you know, that side of the draw, there's a lot of pace on the low numbers, and there's quite a lesser pace in the high numbers, but a lot of the pace on the low side is the horses like Radio Goo Goo in 7, Emperor Spirit in 10. They're not right next to the rail. Summergand's an 18 of 19, and number 19 of 19 is Mr. Wagyu, who is likely to take them along on that side. Now, you want to watch how a Great St. Wilfrid normally pans out? You watch last year's race. That was a really typical one. The far side won it that year. Sophia's Starlight was on the far side. And was it Summergand who finished second, actually?
Yeah, he finished second twice.
Yeah. But who won the near side? The near side was won by 2.5 lengths by Wob Wob Wob. who led that side and was going away from them all at the finish again. He is back again this year, got a good record at Ripon, and that third last year tells you he handles it anyway. He's drawn 15 this time, plenty close enough to that pace on that near rail, and they might end up putting him on that rail anyway. You know, it's PJ McDonald's riding. He knows Ripon as well as anybody, and although he's only had he's never had a winner yet for Adrian Keatley. He's only had one ride for him since he's come back from his injury, and it was a horse that finished second. So I just thought there was an awful lot going for Wobble Bob, and I also think he's coming here off a career best. He's always been a little bit more convincing at 6 furlongs and 7 furlongs, this horse. You know, he finished third in this race last year and went on to win the Ayr Silver Cup. But last time he ran at the Goodwood Festival, he finished sixth, but he was still second, half a furlong out. You know, it's just that lack of getting home sometimes over seven cost him. He travelled so powerfully through that race, and he was only £2 off his best performance on Racing Post ratings. I think when you allow for the conditions, that was the best run of his life. So he comes in here of a career best effort, in effect, with a good draw, near a good bit of pace, in a similar position from where he ran a mighty race last year and a similar sort of mark. The Great St Wilfrid's never easy, but this horse is just, he stands out a little bit in a competitive race to me.
A really strong case there for Wobble Bob for Keith Melrose in the Great St Wilfrid, and a decent price looking at around the 9-1 mark there. And you've got the 5 place on offer with Unibet as well. The final race we look at from ITV's racing card is the 205 at Newmarket, which is the very unique grey horse handicap over 6 furlongs. Not an easy one if you're one of backing grey horses in a race. But First Folio and Fine Interview are topping the market 130. Eminency's 9-2 along with Strike. And then a jump to Mr. Bluebird and Archduke Ferdinand and Mart 11-1, 12-1 about Green and Bay. And Good Karma, who is 22-1. I'll come to you first here, Keith Melrose. Who did you like in the Grey Horse Handicap?
Well, it's an interesting race. I mean, we'll look at Fine Interview, who's a horse many people might not know because he's not running off a lot in this country. Also a jockey many people might not know. And I make apologies for the pronunciation here. It's not a name I've heard pronounced before, but Fally Bugganaim is a jockey here, making his debut in Britain on Friday night at Epsom, and then his second ride in Britain is going to potentially be on a favourite in an ITV race. He's been riding in France and Belgium, I believe. He made his name as a distance rider in the Middle East, so he's not a new jockey. He's just new to us. So it'll be an interesting one to watch in this race. And Fine Interview, who won a maiden at Foss last time very handily, albeit he was only beating 70 horses at best. He's the only reason I'm not going in fairly deeply. He could just blow them apart. So for that reason, I will rein in my stake a little bit on Eminency, but I do fancy Eminency in this race. We went from Clive Cox to Stuart Williams, and you know, we know what Stuart Williams is like. You know, he's a trainer that tends to target races very in a very focused manner. This horse had been, he was probably a little bit high in the weights, and he's ended up, as soon as he's found himself in a valuable not to 85, which was the race he ran in the Racing League at Chepstow last time, he was backed into favouritism. And yeah, that day he ran perfectly well. It was a much more encouraging run. And I just think Chepstow, maybe with that downhill run over 6, is maybe just a little bit quick for him. And that was the way it panned out that day. He also might, I think, did he make, no, I don't think it was that one about the ground. It was Gisborne, the winner, preferred the better conditions, but the softer conditions. But Eminency, stiffer 6, is going to be great. The visor goes on now and he puts Sylvester D'Souza back on. It looks like, well, if he can't win at the Racing League, lads, we've got the Grey Horse Handicap that's worth $25,000 a week later. And I think that's what's happened, and I think he'll go well.
Okay, yeah, Eminency then, for Keith Melrose. Stuart Williams, big congratulations to him. Only a couple of days ago, 1,000 domestic winners as a trainer. Sean Levy rode his 1,000th winner. Just looking at social media there. Mark Horoski, to you then, please. The final race we cover on ITV, who did you like?
I'm similar to Keith Melrose. I'm just glad that I wasn't asked to do the pronunciation of the trainer, jockey, on Fine Interview. It was a very good job there. Keith, well done. I thought Eminency looks difficult to beat. I think the key here, I mean, it was 6-1 yesterday. It's now 9-2. I think reverting back to better ground is a big plus for Eminency here. It was heavily backed at Chepstow in the Racing League last time out. I mean, just looked to get stuck in the ground for me. Dropped a pound for that. Newmarket, one run, finishing third. I think this is a weaker race, and Keith did mention this as well. I think SDS back on board is a big positive. I did have this one down as a solid 6-1, and I would expect him to shorten on the day. But I think 9-2, I think some people have found this one now. I wouldn't be surprised if he goes off around 7-2, 11-4.
Two votes for eminency then, SDS on board. Brett Williams for you then. Who did you like in the grey horse handicap?
Yeah, I think it's going to be unanimous right across the board. I'm all over eminency as well. I think the first time visor will just, I mean, he's not going to be improving, but it just might eke out a little bit more from him. Sylvester D'Souza on the plate, very well handicapped as well. There's plenty to like about eminency. And as you said, you know, Stuart Williams, that big winner from Windsor in the week, milestone success for him. So the team are in good form. First Folio is incredibly well handicapped, so obviously you couldn't rule that one out, but at around sort of 7-2, it's probably not no point backing that each way. Strikers at the other end of the way, the fact that it's perhaps not so well handicapped. But no, I think eminency for me to take the grey horse handicap in a race where we are giving you your money back as cash. Yes, cash. Hard-earned cash if you back the second or third. So money back as cash, second or third. In that grey horse handicap. It's funny, actually, that the horse that won this race last year runs at Newbury on the same card, Silver Samurai or whatever it was called. So might be winning this year.
There we go. Yeah, eminency then. With that money back second or third, I think a win bet on eminency would be quite handy, I'd say.
Really, really timely offer that as well, that second, third cash back, because with the fine interview situation, you know, that horse could just blow it apart. This is exactly the sort of horse that I would back with that offer, I think.
Absolutely. I think he's a great win bet, eminency. Listen to the panel there. And with that offer of money back as cash, if second or third, again, do head to unibet.co.uk to find out all the terms and conditions with regards to that offer. And that is the ITV Racing card covered. Shortly after this, we'll be back with any other bets as well as our weekend best bets.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out. You're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with 3 uni boosts every day on any horses you want. Unibet, you're on.
Welcome back to the final part of this week's Racing Postcast, brought to you by The Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet. You still have Sam Hart, Keith Melrose, Mark Karofsky and Unibet's Brett Williams. Now bringing you any other bets from elsewhere. Mark, have you got anything else this week and away from the ITV cameras you like?
I've got one running at Perth on Saturday. There's not any prices available for this yet, but I've got this one in my tracker, well planted in the 6:35, course specialist, back on last winning mark. Derek Fox is booked. No prices available, but I mean, I like the Mike Smith stable, and I would expect this one to go well. But no prices available as of yet.
Okay, yeah, well planted. That is in the 6:35 at Perth on Saturday. Brett, anything for you to mention as well as any offers that you want to just mention once again?
Well, as I said, just go onto the website on Saturday morning or every morning and make sure you get all the best offers there. We might perhaps be doing winning distance for LSI in that first race at Jeffrey Frit Newbury. I'll get that check. But yeah, there's a couple that are, you know, obviously going to be of interest to me. A horse called Chancellor, who runs in the 4:16 at Doncaster. By Kingman out of Queen's Trust, of course, who's a Breeders' Cup winner herself. Absolutely bolted up on its debut for John Gosden at Doncaster over six. Then went to Ascot, running at the Pat Eddery, that Wingfield Stakes listed race on King George Day. Finished third, didn't get the best of runs, as you know, got boxed in and so forth. The horse that finished second in that then came out and scored in the race at Salisbury yesterday. So that's got a strong form. It's going to be odds on, so you're not going to get rich back in it, but it's just interesting to watch. I think it could be one to keep an eye on. Got engagements in the mill or even and so forth, so it could be a nice source. And there's one more just to throw into the mix. Wheels on Fire, for those absolutely fabulous fans. Wheels on Fire, rolling down the road. Anyway, that runs in the 2:40 at Newmarket. Stayed on really nicely at Goodwood last time. So there we are. All bodes well for Wheels on Fire.
There we go. Wheels on Fire there, man. Okay, one to watch, especially for Brett Williams. Well, you catch me out every week with something interesting, Brett, but you singing wasn't on my bingo card this week. Right, it's time to get the best bets for the week. And then who do the panel really like this weekend? Keith Melrose, you're going to kick us off. Who's the best bet?
it's in the Great St. Wilfrid, and I just, the more I looked at that race, the more I talked myself into thinking, I cannot see how Wob 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 doesn't run a big race here. So it's Wob 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 in the Great St. Wilfrid, which is the 3:20 at Ripon.
That's it, yeah. 9-1, Wob 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 for Keith Melrose. Then I'm going to go with Kikuli in the Hungerford Stakes at 3:35 at Newbury. Like I said, I thought the second behind Hartam in the jersey at Ascot was sublime, and you can make a few excuses for that run at Deauville on good soft ground. Think to a quicker surface, think this horse will be seen to better light. I know the Charltons think a lot of this horse, and even the second that it was behind in that listed Heron Stakes at Sandown runs at Deauville in the pre-Dornano today and probably has a decent enough chance there. So, yeah, Kikuli for me, I think will get the better of English Oak and take the winning in the Hungerford Stakes. Mark Orosky, for you, who's the best bet?
Starlore or True Promise. What am I going to do? We'll go for Starlore.
Starlore in the 3:00 at Newbury, the handicap there. So Marcus Stout and Tom Mark Arn. And Brett Williams, your best bet will be?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the big board in the 2:25 at Newbury. Ran a really good race, wasn't he? Beaten a short head at Ascot last time. A proper 5 furlong specialist. She's incredibly well handicapped. And of course, she's got the services of a certain Mr. Ocean Murphy on board. So the big board for me in the 2:25 at Newbury.
And there we go. The naps are on screen now. You can see them there. These will be boosted by Unibet at the time of the podcast and video uploads. Head to unibet.co.uk and you can see all of our naps boosted there. Some big prices on this week's podcast. Gents, always great to see. Hopefully some decent value and hopefully plenty of winners found as always. I do have to go around the panel and ask what everyone is up to this week and any exciting plans. Are you watching the racing or are you out somewhere? Keith Melrose, to you first. What's going on with you this weekend?
I'm actually celebrating my 10th wedding anniversary on Friday. I've just looked up what it is. Do you know what it is?
Go on.
In terms of, like, it's tin. Doesn't sound very exciting.
Is that actually
it?
A thing?
Yeah, tin. I mean, maybe it was exciting at the time when they dreamt all this stuff.
Wedding
up,
anniversary.
Yeah, it doesn't. I can imagine the look I'd get if I presented something tin. so we'll be celebrating that.
Well, congratulations, Keith. Enjoy your weekend there. Mark, what are your plans this weekend?
So probably the opposite from Keith. There'll probably be avoiding the wife. I'm going to Chelsea on Sunday on the A team. So looking forward to that. Hopefully can beat City there. But yeah.
There we go. Yeah, off to the Football Premier League returns once again. And Brett, on a race course, not on a race course?
No, I've got a gig booked to do some singing on Saturday night.
I thought so.
No, I'm off to Newbury the weekend and then I've got Southall on Sunday to do a bit of race day presenting. I've not been to Southall for about 20 odd years, but it's Ladies' Day, so they tell me I should have quite a good time.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, you enjoy that. I look forward to some of the videos that I'll see on your social media, I'm sure, from Savile this weekend. So yeah, do follow on Brett and you can find out exactly what he's been up to this week and especially on the Unibet pages as well. I'm going to be actually at Goodwood Racecourse on Sunday, not for any racing. I'm actually there for a food festival, which would be lovely and loads of different things going on there. So still try and find a way up to Goodwood, no matter what's going on. So looking forward to that. Well, big thanks to the panel as always, Keith Melrose, Mark Karofsky, and as always, Brett Williams. We may have Ed Nixon back for the eBall preview next week. We may have Brett Williams. We'll have to wait and find out. I'm sure Ed will be looking forward to coming back to preview some of York's action next week. But as always, do like, comment, share, and subscribe. Do remember to gamble responsibly, and we'll see you again next week. Thanks for watching.